keep hearing the phrase on television. It's kind of an unfortunate phrase, especially by advertisers to catch the magic of Christmas. And I think that's unfortunate because Christmas is a miracle. It's not magic. It's a miracle. And it's the miracle of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, coming into this messy world, fully God, fully man, being born to a peasant family, and coming because he loved us, and he still loves us so much that he went to the cross to die for our sins. That's a miracle. God invading the human mess. And so that happened on a night in Bethlehem, and this next song talks about this holy night. So would you sing, please? May be seated. As we continue, those who are listening from home, glad to have you with us also. For our responsive reading today, I picked a familiar passage from Luke chapter 2. Emily, I don't have the remote, so if you can do it, okay. if you would kindly read this with me, all right, I'll try to take it at a good pace. And pay attention. You know, there's something about Scripture that as many times as you read it, when you come to it fresh and asking God to show you something, he may show you something you never knew before. And that's the treasure of Scripture, all right? So would you read this with me? Here we go. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place in Quirinius, that's good, the governor of Syria. Next. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up to town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of and the line of David. So when he went to register with Mary, who pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, and because there was no room. Okay. Is that the last verse? Okay. Thank you. So kind of an old familiar story, huh? But God orchestrated all of this. This was all in God's perfect timing. You know, having a child of our own, and those of you good ladies who have given birth before, you know, around the seventh, eighth month, all I remember hearing is, I want this child to come out. I want this child to come out. And there was nothing special here in the fact that Mary had a what we would call a normal labor, right? She had all the pains and, you know, all the concerns. But prior to that, she rode on a donkey, probably in her ninth month, in a lot of pain. Okay? So, but in obedience, you know, she did what she had to do. And then the time was right for Jesus to be born. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, the scripture says, fully God, fully man, and the hope of the world comes down to this baby in the manger. It's amazing, isn't it? It's the miracle of Christmas. And so, as we, before I introduce the musical, why don't you join me in prayer? Okay. Father, we thank you for this time together. I thank you for those who are here today in the parking lot and those who are listening via Facebook. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would superintend the service. We want to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the miracle of Christmas and what it means for us. And so, Father, as we do that, we want to pray for those who are not feeling well today. We think of Cy Moffitt. We ask that you help him feel better. We think of Gail Hahn, Father, that you might encourage her and help her feel better. And, Father, for those who are home for whatever reason, may this time of music and hearing the gospel in a fresh way encourage their hearts and give them hope. And so, Father, we give this service to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Not bad for a small group. Thank you, parking lot. The title of this musical, and we've been avoiding the word cantata, I don't know why, but the title of this musical is Sing Christmas. So you're going to be invited to sing at different points, okay, in the cantata. But here's a little secret, okay? If you know songs, you can sing them anyhow, all right? But I can tell you this. The dear people up here have been preparing hard for this and long for it. In my estimation, they sound really good, and I think they'll bless your heart. Listen to the words. Listen to what God has for you today. And you'll come away knowing you've been with Jesus Christ.
Hello.
Sing we now of Christmas, let heaven and nature sing. Oh, sing Christmas. There is no more joyful expression of this season than singing. For centuries, the prophets' songs proclaimed the coming Messiah, cultivating the angelic chorus over Bethlehem. Good news, great joy, a Savior is born. And it's the same today. Church bells ring, and God's people gather together to sing beloved carols. Joy to the world and peace on earth.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And mild and sweet their songs repeat. Of peace on earth, goodwill to man.
The song of Christmas is both thunderous and hushed. Is it at once exuberant and tender? It was sung by a host of angels across the expanse of heaven and was whispered by astonished shepherds and worshiping kings. Let us meet them now in the manger, and may we join with the angels in singing our praise to the newborn Savior. Sing with us now.
Christ the newborn King.
worship Christ the newborn King.
Ooh. When you sing of Christmas, it is much more than a carol or a hymn. It is more than your family gathered around the piano or a candlelit service on Christmas Eve. When you sing of Christmas, it becomes the song of your heart. This Christmas, may our hearts be open to the miracles of the season as never before. This Christmas, may our hearts draw even closer to our Savior as we crown Him Lord of our lives. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. With me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of song and the privilege of praising you. Thank you for sending us your Son long ago on a silent night. Thank you for the chorus of angels, the wonder of shepherds, and the worship of kings. And thank you for the invitation to join them as we proclaim together, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. And now, today and forevermore, let heaven and nature sing. Amen.
Come and adore.
Were you blessed by them? They did a great job, didn't they?
We'd be nothing without Sharon.
We want to thank Sharon, the ladies, and the gentlemen. I don't want to forget him.
Thank you, parking lot.
Yeah. Real quick, I just want to share a word with you before we do our last song. And boy, that's... They really liked it, huh? In John chapter 11, if you can do that for me, Em, okay. I'd like you to go to, for the sake of time, I'm in the wrong chapter, that's why I can't find it. For the sake of time, can you go to verse 25, okay? If there's anything you take away from today, there's a question that has to be asked, and it's very simple. Do you believe in all you just heard?
Oh, yeah.
All right? I mean, it seems like an oversimplification, but you have to understand that the word believe in our time is different from the word the Bible used, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word believe means you believe with your whole life, heart, soul, mind, and will, to the point where you believe that it issued in obedience. And so for those who hear the gospel for the first time, it's realizing that we're rebels against God. We're dead in our rebellion, dead in our sin, and only Jesus is able to rescue us. That's why we need a Savior. And so, for those of you who haven't been able to make every week, I've been going through the seven sayings of Christ, the I Ams. And another way of asking a question is, do you know the great I Am? God called himself, God the Father called himself the great I Am. Jesus, being fully God, fully flesh, fully human, uses that term because he is fully God and fully man, but he is the great I Am. And we looked at from John 6, I am the bread of life. As physical bread sustains us, so Christ offers us spiritual bread to sustain our spiritual life. Isn't that great? The Word, the Holy Spirit. Then we looked at I am the light of the world. Christmas lights are supposed to remind us that Jesus came into this dark, crazy, chaotic world to bring a light of hope. And the one thing about darkness is that it can never overcome light. Never. Now, there's a lot of false lights out there, but Jesus is the only true light. He's the light of the world that brings hope into this lost world. The next saying came from John 10, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus protects his followers, a shepherd protects their flocks from predators. That's what part of being a church is all about, that we're the flock of Jesus. He called us out, and he saved us, and he's willing to nurture us, protect us, do whatever it takes to keep us in the fold. Well, he did that on the cross at Calvary. And then we looked at I am the good shepherd. Jesus is committing to carrying and watching over those who are his to the point where he would be willing to lay down his life for any one of us. And he did at Calvary. So today I just want to look very quickly at a statement that Jesus makes. Another I am from John chapter 11, verse 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, let me just quickly put this in context. Jesus just lost probably one of his best friends, Lazarus. Lazarus was ill. Martha got word to Jesus that he was ill, asked him to come. And Jesus delayed. If you know the story, he delayed for 4 days. And the reason why he delayed is because he knew that God was going to use this as an opportunity to give a real life illustration of the power of the gospel and the power of who he is. Not who he was, but who he is. And so when on the fourth day he says to his disciples, come, let us go to see Lazarus, he has fallen asleep. And the disciples misunderstood him. They thought he was just sleeping. And they said, Lord, let him sleep. He needs to recover. And he says, no, you misunderstand that, Lord, he's dead. So they came, and impetuous Martha, okay, ran out when he got into town and said to Jesus, Lord, if he had only been here a couple of days ago, my brother would not have died. And he says to Martha, do you believe that the dead will rise again? And so he keeps on coming to the village. Now, Mary, this is the same Mary who anointed Jesus' feet with perfume, the same Mary who worshiped and sat at Jesus' feet, goes out and meets him and said the same thing. Lord, if you only had come a couple of days sooner, my brother would be alive. And Jesus said, he shall live again. So they go to the tomb, and they pray. And Jesus leads them in a prayer, and he says, Lord, I pray this prayer, Father, not for me, but so that everyone can hear and see that you sent me into this world. You have to bear in mind the religious authorities were really, really angry with Jesus at this point because he was claiming to be God and the Messiah. And he came back into this area at great peril because when he was there not too long before this, they tried to stone him and kill him. Why? For telling the truth, for loving people, and offering them hope. So he comes back, and they go to the grave, and here's what happens. Jesus said he's talking to Mary at this point, I am, there's the I am the resurrection and the life. Now listen to this. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's a key question. I want you to notice that Jesus didn't say, I can do the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. Just as Jesus was willing to lay down his life and take it up again for his sheep. All this to say that Jesus has the power of life. And he says, not only that, I am the life. The moment somebody puts their trust in Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, it's not by good works, it's not by any of that, it's not by religion, if I could use that term broadly, it is by a point in time where we realize that we've all fallen short of what God expects from us. The Bible calls that sin. We're all born by nature rebels against God. That's sin. And we come to a point where we know that sin has made us spiritually dead. You may not realize that, but when we have unconfessed sin in our lives, it makes us as good as dead, especially for an unbeliever who hasn't come to Christ yet, because that sin eventually will build chains around the person and keep them captive and ultimately send them to a place of eternal separation the Bible calls hell. I attended last week a dramatic presentation on the theology of Scrooge, A Christmas Carol, all right? Listen, if you haven't read the book, read the book. I know some of the films are good. Alistair Sim plays in one of the films. But the book is a million times better. You get a lot more out of the book. For instance, the three spirits, who I believe could be the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, visited Scrooge on three different nights, not the same night, okay? And just to see the impact, I tell you all this to say this. Scrooge, according to what Marley had told him in that first encounter, was forging chains on his life by his greed, his pride, and his lack of compassion for people. And he says to Scrooge at one point, "Your chains, Mr. Scrooge, will exceed mine if you don't change. If you don't change." Think of Lazarus for a minute. Lazarus is put in a tomb. He was wrapped up, almost like a mummy would be wrapped up, okay? He was dead, wrapped up in his chains, if you will. This is an incredible picture. When they went to the tomb and Jesus gave the command to roll the stone away, one of the ladies, I can't remember who right now, but one of the ladies said, "But Lord, he's going to stink. Because on the fourth day, the body starts to decompose." And listen, in the nostrils of God, sin stinks. Sin stinks. God will not tolerate sin. And sin has to be punished. That's why he sent his son to bear the punishment in our place for us. So Jesus gives the command, "Lazarus, come forth." And put yourself in a situation. If you think this didn't happen, you're wrong, okay? But this actually happened. And out from the tomb comes this mummy. Jesus has the power of life to give life to somebody who's dead. Isn't that great? And because of the cross, and because of the resurrection, and Jesus is the resurrection and the life, for those of us who trust him by faith alone, who come to a point of repentance, knowing that we've sinned against God, and trust in what he did on the cross in my place, he gives us new life. Not only that, new purpose. One of the most neglected verses of this is near the end. If you can go to the last verse, Emily, it should be verse 44, I'm sorry. Listen, let's go to 43. He says, "When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and clothes around his face." So get the picture, right? If he wanted to take those off, he couldn't. All right? Go ahead. "And Jesus said to the people around him, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" What a great picture. Because the moment somebody puts their trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ, when I say trust, heart, mind, and will, the chains fall off. For the first time, you are really free. For the first time, you are free to obey Jesus. For the first time, you can call him your shepherd. For the first time, you can call him your brother. For the first time, you can go to the Father without an intermediary and talk to the Father. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says you can come boldly into the throne of grace and find grace and mercy in the time of need. And that's because of the work of Jesus Christ. This is amazing. This is a miracle. Christmas is not just for children. There is a large department store. And I'm sure they sell good product and all. But they adopted as a slogan this year, "If you buy from them, you'll experience joy, comfort, and peace." What they don't tell you is that goes away the moment you get your credit card bill. All right? I mean, you got to pay the bill. All right? The point being, we look for joy, comfort, and peace in all the wrong places. Only Jesus, the light of the world, the hope of the world, the resurrection and the life could bring true hope, joy, comfort, and peace. You know, it's such a great feeling, and I hear this time and time again, when God opens the eyes of someone who hasn't heard the gospel before, hasn't responded to the gospel by faith, and they finally do, how free they feel afterwards. I want to give you some homework, all right? If you can get a hold of a copy of A Christmas Carol. It was published, by the way, back in 1843. What was Friday's date? The 18th, right? It was published on December 18th in 1843. Read about Scrooge's conversion. His statements. He says, I'm free as a butterfly. I'm as light as the wind. And you remember that's when he kissed his housekeeper? And his housekeeper thought he had gone crazy. He yells out the window to a boy and he says, you know that goose in the butcher shop? Go buy it and bring it to the Cratchits. The very man he was persecuting, his employee, he was exploiting. You see, Scrooge was released from his pride, his greed, and his selfishness. That's what Jesus offers us through faith and what he did on the cross and the resurrection. That's the message of Christmas. And I hope we spread that message, because in this dark world, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know, with the COVID pandemic, with the economic situation, with some of us have lost friends and loved ones to COVID. I have. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I know that God is alive and Jesus still reigns. Amen? I'm going to ask the ladies and gentlemen to come back up, and I'll ask you to stand, and we'll close with a song. Sharon's not going to like me for this, but I decided to name this group Sharon and Her Gang. Would you show your appreciation, please?
Pastor,
yes.
I'd like to say a few
words. Of course.
Please.
Go ahead, Margie.
Time and time again, Sharon has shared her time, her talent, and her teaching with us. And we wanted to thank her very much on behalf of the choir and on behalf of the congregation. We are very blessed to have you, Sharon. And you bring all of us the gift of song time and time again. And for that, we are so appreciative of you, and words can't express. Thank you so much, Sharon.